Welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. I am Triforce Todd, and joining me today is Wario Will.
I hope you're all having a good time in this sweltering summer right now, because it is so bloody hot. Oh, God.
Yeah, it's finally gotten hot where I am. Although, honestly, I was a bit chilly today, and it's like 80 outside, so that's just the weirdness of my apartment. And we would be introducing Telly as Tyler, but... how should we put this lightly, Will? He's got a permanent date with a throne?
I guess you have some sort of a purging event to do.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, he's in the bowels of his life right now.
Mm.
Yeah.
Ouch.
He's having some health issues, if you can't get the joke. But he's fine. He's just, you know, he didn't want to... go in and out on the podcast, so we're giving him the week off. And with us here is, of course, our Supreme Overlord, King Koopa Keith.
Oh, you recognize that tag, huh?
I forgot how long
I had that damn thing, but yeah. What's up, everybody? Demon's Souls Remastered has been announced. I can die. Wow, I can't talk. I can die a happy man.
I'd
rather not. But
yeah, so I say, like, if you die, then you can't play the game.
But at least I'll die knowing that it does exist. I don't want to die, though.
There's our podcast title. I don't want to die! Will's going to die from heat. Tyler's going to die from his bowels failing him. I'm going to die from the food I'm eating, because I just really like eating not healthy foods. And then he's going to die from happiness from having Demon Souls back.
I'm going to die because all the people walking outside without wearing a mask like idiots.
Yeah. What a world.
We're in a pandemic. Oh, what's that? No, your mask. Put it on. Yeah. Thank you.
But there's been a lot of interesting stuff going on in the last week, including, of course, today, the announcement, not the announcement, but the full reveal of the PS5, the games that it's going to be getting, but not the price point. It's almost like they don't want to ruin the moment by giving you a high price point.
No.
Gee, that can't possibly backfire.
Can we talk about that? Are we allowed to talk about that?
Yeah, why not? We got 5 minutes.
We got time.
I don't think they're going to talk about that for obvious reasons. They're still playing that game with Microsoft. Neither one wants to go first with the price tag, because the second one goes, and we saw this at E3, the second one goes, the other one can go, you know what? We were going to go $5.99, but now we're going to go a little bit under what you just mentioned.
Yeah.
And they don't want that.
No. So it's literally a game of chicken. Who's going to blank first?
Pretty much.
So it's like, Microsoft, I dare you to move. Sony, I dare you to move. Nintendo, hey guys, got a Switch. Who wants to play?
The thing that frustrates me about that is I get this whole tick for tack, but one, we're in the middle of a recession.
Yes.
People that want to get this, because gaming is a great way to get your mind off of the world we live in.
An outlet.
And people want to have the money set aside for this. So if people are barely getting along or getting by and they want to save money for this console, you just wasting time playing this silly game versus just saying, hey, you know what? This is how much it is. Start saving your pennies. You might lose on potential sales. Now, to a juggernaut like Microsoft or Sony, that might not be a big deal. But for little Johnny in the corner, it's like, I want a PlayStation 5, but I can't afford it because they made me wait 3 months late.
Yeah. A friend of mine has already noted, like, she's gonna get the PS5, and she's like, well, I'm going to start saving money. So she's, like, going to pull out $20 from her paycheck every week, you know, and that by the time it gets here, because they're both, like, holiday 2020, right? We still don't have a full release date for either.
Right.
So, you know, so it's June now. So June, July, August, September, October, November. So right from here to November is 6 months. So that's 24 weeks, give or take. So, you know, $20 on that end, and you're already, you know, pretty much covered, plus games, obviously, and accessories and the special controllers, because, you know, you're going to want to get them all.
Right.
You know, start saving now. But yeah, I don't get this. I mean, This reminds me of Xbox 360 versus PS3, because it's like, you know, PS3 was like $600 for that massive brick that could you just kill people with by throwing it at them. And then Xbox was obviously lesser but still expensive. And then the Wii wasn't even close to their price range, and that's why it won the generation, among other things, obviously. And this is like, I almost pity them, almost, because they're right now the Switch is just like lording over all of them, and they know it. And I don't mean this as a Nintendo fanboy. I mean this as fact. They have sold 55 million in 3 years, three full years of life. We're on year four right now, and they've still got games coming out. They still got big titles coming out. They have done near perfect execution of releasing games, and both of them are more worried about the price point. It's like, that's not really what you should be your focus. And I know PlayStation fans who happen to be listening. Yes, the PS5 did announce some good games today. Spider-Man Miles Morales, Return of Ratchet and Clank, the next Resident Evil game, which obviously be multi-platform.
Hold up, pause on that one. You had to have watched our stream when Carl saw that. Oh my god, he was not happy.
Wait, hold on. He wasn't happy about Resident Evil?
No.
Because?
He's not a fan. I mean, I get where he's coming from. He was not a fan of 7 and the direction it went. And he's a purist. He likes the original Resident Evil. Uh-huh. He's not a fan of the new direction.
Uh-huh. So like the more action-oriented direction.
Well, no, the first person versus the third person. He's not a fan of that.
Oh, that's right. It was first person. I don't play horror games, but I do remember, because I remember most people praising 7 because of like the return to horror roots versus, you know, the action over the top sequences like with 6 and 5.
It was split. It split down the middle.
Okay. Yeah. But yeah, I know that you guys had some like big game announcements, and it's good. Good for
Gran Turismo 7, Demon's Souls, Slash.
Yeah.
Horizon Zero Dawn 2.
Oh yeah, now that one, I've heard many wonderful things about Horizon, the original Horizon, and so that sequel was inevitable.
Oh yeah, I called that. I was like, that's happening. That's going to be happening.
It was, if I remember correctly, Zero Dawn was like the second best-selling original title on the PS4. Or
yes.
Something like that. So,
yes.
You know, if you don't make a sequel for that, what's wrong with you?
And it's coming, the first one is coming out for PC, and we'll know more about that during this upcoming Saturday's PC Gamer Show.
Ah,
interesting.
Okay.
Okay, but on the price point, Keith, be honest with yourself, be honest with the industry, and be honest with our listeners. What do you feel is a fair price for the PS5?
$499. They literally cannot go any higher. Consoles that sell at the $600 price point do not sell well.
PS3.
PS3 did not sell well. Because,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's a bad price. Yeah. At this point, companies want to put all the technology, they want to put ray tracing, they want to give us these super SSD drives, they want to give us a great system that doesn't sound like a jet engine that cools off and everything. Great, that's fantastic. You want to give us gobs of memory, fantastic. But keep in mind that we are a consumer. We aren't blessed with cash. Not like everybody else. We're not the 1% or whatever. We're not athletes. And
are we? No, we're not.
Okay. You have to pay attention and realize who you're selling this product to. If you want us to buy a PlayStation 5 or Xbox Series X, plus maybe another controller and a handful of games, you making us pay $600 plus $60 for each game, plus probably $70 for another controller, it ain't happening. Not to mention if you want us to buy 4K TVs as well.
Right. Even though 4K TVs itself is starting to become the standard now, but yeah, just like the pricing of everything else you buy afterwards is just, yeah, we're not made of money.
So that's another thing. You know, there are 4K TVs out there, but there's 4K TVs and then there's 4K TVs. Like there's 4K TVs that don't have HDR, then you have 4K TVs that have HDR, then you have 4K TVs that have HDR 10 and then Dolby Vision and then higher refresh rates. So even 4K TVs have their own different variants of good, best, and you must have this God tier. And the consoles, these new consoles are going towards the better and the best people.
It's definitely something that's going to be interesting to see unfold as we get closer to the holiday 2020 season, because the presentation itself screamed, hey, look at all the beautiful games you're going to be getting when you purchase a PS5, and then we don't find out the price, and they're like, why don't we have the price? But the games! Look at the games, you know.
Right.
should be enough for you to get the console, no matter the price. But that's not what we're asking, isn't it?
That ain't it, Chief. That ain't it.
Yeah.
We need pricing.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. And the Switch will just be here saying, "Hi guys, we got Metroid coming out. We got Paper Mario coming out. Oh, what's that? You want F-Zero, Keith? You know what? Here's F-Zero for you."
Give up. I don't care. Keith does not care anymore.
It's still quite something. We still have no idea what comes after, aside from the whole Pokemon expansion, the second half of the year. It's just like, Nintendo, now's a good time to show off something.
Nintendo, I predict Nintendo is going to show some stuff right when both of these consoles go on sale. Because keep in mind, again, recession and parents and gamers, and they're going to want to buy something. And if I can't pay for these new consoles, what can I spend my money on? Hey, Nintendo has another game out. Hey, Nintendo's got this game out. Maybe it's worth spending $300 for a Switch, or cheaper because they go on sale usually during shopping holiday.
Yeah, which we're going to be talking about soon.
So, yeah, that's a prime time to push out some games.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, but for all you PS5 fans, hey, I'm happy for you. I'm happy you learned some new games that are coming out. I'm glad you got surprised a few times, like with Miles Morales. I love that for the Miles Morales one, there was like a report that came out like an hour before the press conference, and it was like, "Report: the next Spider-Man game is not what Insomniac Games is making." And then 1 hour later, here's Miles Morales. It's like, that's why you don't listen to these reports or these rumors until they are definitive. Because how many times have they heard, "Oh, it's going to come out. It's not going to come out. It's going to come out eventually. Blah, 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 blah."
There were a lot of speculations about what is going to be released right before this. Because there was a couple of people that was like, "Hey, you know, Insomniac's got this other game coming out before that." And then Jason, and I always pronounce his name wrong, so I'm not going to say it. Schreier. I always mess his name up. He was like, "They're doing this." And then the tweet got deleted. And I don't believe it was the announcement of Miles Morales. I believe it was Ratchet and Clank. Huh. Because we knew they were working on a Spider-Man game. We just didn't know which one it was. We did not know they were working on a Ratchet and Clank game. We did not know that.
It's like, hashtag. Yeah, hashtag bring back Sly Cooper. I'm just saying.
Well, Austin will keep asking for Jack and Daxter.
This is true.
It's never going to happen.
No. If Naughty Dog would just want to refocus back on that and not The Last of Us, I don't know.
Well, that would actually require them to actually finish The Last of Us, which I'm still not convinced they did.
It's gold. It's gold, baby.
I don't care. It's coming out in 8 days. Oh, I don't care. Because you'll get like a massive like 20,000 gigabyte day one patch they've been working on and everything.
Oh, man, that's just the sad realization of the industry right now.
Oh, I know. Trust me.
It ain't done yet. It's got 100 gigs left. Nah, we'll do a patch. It's fine. Ship it out.
Okay. Anyway, so there you go. I did you a solid, and I dedicated 11 minutes to this, Keith.
Wow, you actually counted.
Yeah, well, I did. Because it's a Nintendo podcast. I like to talk about Nintendo eventually. So. Anyway, but let's get the show started properly with what have you been playing? And Keith, since you are a returning guest, why don't you reveal everyone what you have been playing?
It was a Nintendo game. How's that?
Oh.
Can I still talk about it?
Yeah.
So there's a game that came out, actually it's coming out next week. It's called Disintegration. It's a first-person shooter / RTS game that I did for review. You can check it out on the Outer Haven. Let me back up. Humanity found a way to transplant their minds or their brains into robotic bodies. Stop.
Oh, no.
Before. And somehow along the way, you get caught up in this revolution, this rebellion. You get broken out of this jail, and all of a sudden you're in this adventure to right the wrongs and fix everything that's wrong.
Wow.
Yeah, it's an interesting game.
Sounds like a bit like WALL-E in a sense.
Wow.
Well, hey, I love WALL-E.
Or iRobot. Minus the transferring into robots, but Robo Revolution.
It's an interesting game. It has issues. It has some issues, mainly because they're pretty much taking a bunch of ideas and toss them against the wall to see which one will stick.
Sounds familiar.
And then there's just a problem with how the gameplay is. I mean, for example, you control a squad. Where's where the RTS elements come in? So you have this vehicle called the Grab Cycle, which you can use to damage things and heal things and command your troops. And as you play, as the story progresses, it swaps out the the vehicle that you're on and the weapons that you get. So you don't get it. You don't have to get the ability to customize your weapons. It's like, oh, hey, this level, you get this. And you're like, but these weapons suck for this level. That's all right. That's what you're getting. And then they switch up your troops. So one second you'll have one that has a useful ability. The next time you'll have a soldier that's like, oh, this guy is terrible. And you have no control over that. None whatsoever. And then you also have an issue where the AI control characters, your troops, are just dumb. They'll walk over mines. They'll walk into enemy fire. You tell them to go one direction. They go back that direction. It's like, dude, what are you doing? I just told you not to walk in front of that guy. And they're screaming, help me. Like, but I literally just told you not to do that.
No, you didn't.
It's like, it has some good ideas. It isn't implemented properly. But it's a solid game. It's solid if you can overlook the flaws.
All right.
But only if you're a fan of RTS games. The first-person shooting kind of takes a backseat just because you have to command these troops. But that's what I've been playing, because it was like, oh, hey, by the way, here's this game to review. And I'm like, okay, thanks.
The level reviewer, sadly.
Other than that, I've been, as you can imagine, I don't want to try and bring the podcast down, but the kind of situation that we're kind of in right now, and it's been a trying time. I'll put it that way.
Agreed.
Well,
yeah.
No, it's like, go ahead, your turn.
All right. Well, for me, it has been like, trying to get some relief from the current world situation myself. Like, I have been continuing on with the Xenoblade Chronicles Definitive Edition, which, granted, it unfortunately is a bit of a slow process. I just reached Gower Plains just because I was doing every single side quest in Colony 9.
Oh, which... gosh.
I know. That's the kind of problem of like these major, like 100-hour RPGs, and especially their side quests galore. Like, I gotta do them all. It's like, it's this exclamation point right there. I gotta talk to them. I gotta do it. And then,
Keith, this is why you give me the review copies of games, because I will focus and do my best to beat a game within the 2 weeks that you give us to review this stuff. Which
didn't
is like
I give
what
you Xenoblade?
I am, and it's, my review will be up tomorrow. I'm going to be running it tonight. And I'm almost at the end of the game. I won't have beaten it by the time I review the game. Jeez. But it's a long game. It honestly is.
I was going to say that. It should have been longer than 2 weeks.
It's a long game.
If you can invest like a full time with it, then yes, you can probably do finish up in 2 weeks.
Are you guys
going to
talk about the battle system? Because that's the only thing that's putting me off about this game.
It is a little rough. Again, I eventually got the flow of it, but it is a little... we'll get to it. Anyway, we'll continue on.
And, I mean, just briefly, because, again, the battle system is very reminiscent to Final Fantasy XII, if anything, of a close comparison, or, like, MMOs, basically. So, that's the best comparison I can give. And so, yeah, just continuing, like, just making my slow progress to Colony 6 now, and just briefly been playing on Fire Emblem Heroes, which I really have to go and do that new story chapter, which in the midpoint of Book 4, all right, interesting to say at least. And overall, nothing really much, honestly. Of course, next week is gonna be Last of Us Part 2, which I'll definitely be trying out a little bit. But overall, just been playing a little bit of Uncharted 4, just trying to get mine in my daily shooters. And I don't know, I just have this very nagging itch. I wanted to just pop in back Final Fantasy VII Remake and just play the final chapter, just because I missed that satisfying boss fight against Sephiroth at the end. Like, I don't know. I'm just having that really...
Yeah, and this is why you don't finish games, Will, that are on Nintendo platforms!
Well, it took you how long? Me, princess.
Oh, yeah, well, this princess host of yours is shaking his head. SMH, as the kids would say. That's right, I'm hip, you know, in my ripe old age.
You're S-L-ick. Got it.
What?
You didn't watch Scott Pilgrim? Seriously?
No.
Oh, my limits. God. You missed out on a great movie. Come on, man.
You uncultured swine.
Oh, please. Don't talk to me about swine, Will. All right. Anyway, I, too, have been playing Xenoblade Chronicles Definitive Edition. I am about 25 hours into the game, which is actually not too bad considering my work schedule and the fact that I missed basically 3 days because of family and work and such. But It's very fun. The story is what really drives the game for me. That and the level design. The level design is superior. Like, I love it. And again, you're on one or two entities in the Myconis and the Bionis, and everything you're on is on this one giant model, basically. And you can see it when you look out into the distance, and that's actually rather incredible. So, like, I marvel at the level design at times, and the music's good too. The battle system, Keith, is, yeah. It works, but at times it can get, like, extremely repetitive, and, which I know is, like, it's a battle system, so it's supposed to be repetitive, but not really. It took me a while to really get the flow of it, and there are still times where I have no idea why the combo system, like, the tri-attack combos, like, sometimes they'll let me do long chains, and sometimes they'll only let me do 4 attacks, even though I'm doing exactly what I did the time you let me do 13 chains. Okay.
Has it changed since the original game? Because I played the original game for a couple hours back in the day, and that's what put me off. I just did not like the battle system.
I think they updated a few parts of it, and then in Future Connected, which I still haven't gotten to yet, there's like a brand new battle system, so I don't know. But I'm pretty far into the game. I'm on the Myconis right now. I won't spoil what happened. Everybody dies.
What?
Yeah, gasp. I know. And then Rex shows up with Pyra, and I'm like, wait a minute, that's the sequel game. How does he in the original? And it gets weird. It gets weird. Then the giant mechs from X come around, and I'm like, whoa, oh, that's, yeah, no, I'm done. No, but the game is fun. The characters are a bit mixed. I maintain what I said last week, where not all the characters are fleshed out in ways that they should be. Some of them are. And ironically, some like the side characters that just Jimmy that aren't in your party are fleshed out. But then like Ricky, like he is so annoying. And gosh, and Melia, I wish Melia was getting more attention. Like she has this one section in the game where it's all about her. And then like the last 6 or so cutscenes, like she's barely had a word. And I'm like, you have Jenna Coleman, let her talk.
I guess that's the reason for Future Connect, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's one of the reasons. And I kind of get the joke behind, oh, we feel bad for Melia. Like, yeah, I see where they're going with that. But, yeah, it's still a good game. I don't think I like it as much as X or 2, but that's just because I just like those ones a lot. And unlike Will and Tyler, I am not doing every side quest imaginable and whatever. Like, I tried to get Colony 6 started, and then it wasn't doing the same kind of side quest where like it would help you guide yourself to where you needed to go to rebuild this colony. And it's really annoying because I'm like, okay, I'll spend some time rebuilding Colony 6 and I get one side quest done and I can't fulfill it because a character's not there conveniently. Okay, I got to rebuild it to get them back and blah, blah, blah. Oh, no, you don't have this. You don't have these materials and yada, 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 yada. There's too many side quests. There's just too many. And so like I'll do ones if I get like a lot of experience out of it because that's helping build up my characters. But aside from that, I leave them alone until I just want to do them or, you know, want to get away from the story. But right now with where I am, and again, I'm trying to get a review up for, you know, the website that I work for and to please my supreme overlord. So,
well,
you know,
I have one more question then.
Yes.
Ready?
Sure.
Does it have a cool battle theme like Black Tar from X?
Wait, hold on. Say that again.
Is the battle theme cool?
Oh, yeah. It's got great music.
Is it better than Black Tar?
Because nothing better
than Black Tar.
Oh, I haven't heard that in a long time, so I honestly can't remember.
In my opinion, I feel like Black Tar is just one of that unique sci-fi, which in regards to Definitive Edition, it's
Black
more
Tar
based...
is Xenoblade's mass destruction.
Okay, good comparison.
That's what that is.
Good comparison. If you don't get it, that's a personal reference.
He's like, okay.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Oh boy, no, didn't see that coming.
Funny.
Hey, I know. Love video game music. I had to.
No,
say.
I like the music too. I mean, I like they've got some really good themes, and like sometimes like the beautiful thing about music is that when you don't focus on it, it helps get you in there. With X, I remember a lot of their music because they had like 6 songs and they just kept playing it over and over again, like one by one. It's like they played that like everywhere in the cities and like forests.
You think
and, like,
the game will get a remaster eventually?
I would love that. I loved X. I really did, and I only played it once. Again, the ending aside, obviously, but and then two is of course being Tyler's like favorite game ever. So, but
Wait, I
like
heard he hated that game. What are you talking?
does he hates it with a passion? But I keep saying he loves it because he's an idiot for thinking that he hates it. You know, it's like it's inception of opinion. But I am enjoying this game. It is a lot of fun. Right now, I'm probably gonna give it like a 4 out of 5 because it's got a really good story. They do have some really cool designs and such for the characters and the monsters and all that, and they are definitely going RPG in all the twists and turns that the story takes. But the battle system is a bit wonky at times. It can get really repetitive. Some of the main quests and side quests are just wow. And then I don't know how Shulk is holding all of these items. Like he gets like an infinite amount of items, and they're there, and then you either remember to sell them or you don't, and it's just like, so.
Easy dimensional pocket.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it's bigger on the inside. Yeah, I know. So, and just to kind of tease Will a little bit, Fire Emblem Heroes in the story, we go into a liter, and I'm quoting them here. We go into a lewd dream
Oh
made by one
boy.
of the dark elves or fairies, whatever, and. Apparently, in this lewd dream, every female falls in love with Alphonse, which includes his sister Shireen. And I'm like, are we going Game of Thrones on this crap? Okay, yeah. So,
It's funny enough as well, they actually made a comic in regards to it in the official Fire Emblem Heroes Twitter
yeah, the
account.
manga. I didn't get that joke. Like, what was the joke? I didn't get it.
Because like, oh no, please don't let me do a lewd dreams. So like, and like, yeah, I've seen worse. Because again, internet, it's much worse.
Oh, that's the joke. It's just like I usually get the meaning of these stories, and then like that one, it's like the dark elf or whatever is like it didn't work, and he's like, I've seen worse. I'm like, okay, like what's
Yeah,
happening?
if the internet has seen worse, and again, we're just speaking as the summoners. Yeah, we've seen worse. We have a Mercer, we have Camilla, we have all these different characters. Like, yeah, we've seen worse.
Yeah, we've seen all the Camillas, okay? And don't forget Loki. Her and her bunny outfit, you know. So, yeah. I worry for us, Keith. I worry for us all.
Oh, I started worrying about us when we elected such and such to be such and such of this nation.
Oh, okay, Keith, listen to me. Okay, I know
Get
you're.
that guy up.
I know who you're talking about. I have to say, he is the greatest so and so that we voted into such and such in a long time. Okay, I know these people. I know who came before them. They're over the wall. All of them. They're over the wall.
I like to go over the damn
yeah.
wall.
Yeah. Only a few more months, hopefully. Hopefully. All right. Moving on to news. You honestly had a solid week of news, which makes me very happy, and we have a wide array of topics. So, it's time to go down the warp pipe. And in a lead up to our main event, we're going to be talking a lot about cartoons and Pokemon this week, or this past week in full, released not one, but two very special cartoon slash animated series, whatever you want to call it. The first was, or the second one was Twilight Wings. We finally got the next area, the episode of Twilight Wings, which has been a phenomenal series. And this one showed us a day in the life of Elena, who of course was the assistant to Director Rose in Sword and Shield, and not a fan favorite character at all. Okay, like which how she's portrayed in the game is very one note, you know, very uptight, you know, keeping the director in line, doing the schedule, blah blah blah. Manipulating BD and all that, and then you battle her at the end, and she kind of shows emotion, but not really. And yet, once again, Twilight Wings takes that little sliver of personality and turns into a whole episode, which by the end, you're like, okay, we love Elena. Gosh dang it. Yeah.
Like I'm surprised like how she pretty much is the ultimate secretary. I mean, not a better secretary than Isabel, but yeah, just like how to get her from her humble beginnings and just like go full on explaining the details to the cat to the cab driver. It's just like
The Corviknight
okay,
driver.
yeah, Corbin the driver. Yeah,
Yeah.
thank you. It's just like, okay, she's got some persona, especially with that one time we actually fight her and she goes full on blow crazy. Yeah.
I love that line. It's like, no, you're going to listen to me. I've had a long day. But also, this also shows the a little more of Rose's personality, because he's the one who like sees Elena working so hard and he realizes her potential. He's like, oh, I didn't realize I had a diamond in the rough down here. And, you know, he's like, what's your name? And then she becomes basically his assistant / vice president. And he trusts her to run the entire company, and knowing that she'll do it exactly how he needs her to. And he's like, I can't do this without you. And, you know, she brushes it off and all that. But still, that shows a little bit more of Rose's personality, that he sees talent and he can appreciate people, even though he's trying to save the world from an energy crisis. That's not going to happen for 1,000 years. The plot was weird. All right, Sword and Shield had a really weird plot, and they didn't even try and hide it. So, whatever. And then the other one was what they're calling Poke Tunes, which is almost exactly what it sounds like. It is a Pokemon version of a Looney Tunes cartoon, and it's got the visual style, the music cues, and this one was about a Scraggy and Mimikyu. Which is a very odd pairing, but hey, it's Poketoons, what are you going to do? And it's just, you have to watch it for yourself, because this feels like a pure Looney Tunes cartoon, which is all the more ironic because, of course, we have the new Looney Tunes show on HBO Max, which has already been controversy ridden, but we'll not get into that. It was just a really funny, beautifully animated cartoon, and I want more of this.
Mm-mm. And remind me again, the style of the old-fashioned cartoon, like rubber nose, I believe, is what, like something rubbers, that type of animation.
Yeah,
I forgot. Yeah, rubber nose animation. It's just like that's old style. Again, we've seen this thing from. There was the joke that said like, "Oh, this thing reminds me of Cut Pebbit," and like, no, you don't do that. It reminds me of the old classic Looney Tunes cartoon, not reminds you of Cuphead. But
because yeah. Where do you think Cuphead got it from, idiots?
And yeah, just like the showing of it all, it's just like, yeah, it kind of goes back to our last week discussion, Todd, in regards to how I have a darker take on Pokemon. And like, yeah, as you know, old classic cartoons do have a subtle dark undertone, so yeah. This kind of gives that same feel to it. I agree.
I liked how it went, because I was wondering like, wait, why are they doing this cartoon with Scraggy and Mimikyu? Like, how is this gonna work? And it's like, okay, Scraggy's eating beans, okay, and then he finds a Mimikyu in the bag, and it gets like really weird after that. And then he looks and sees what Mimikyu is really like, which is total Pokemon lore, and he's like horrified. He's trying to get away, but I love this notion. And again, this is an official thing. This isn't a fan thing. This was a literal thing from the Pokemon company, made for like just the internet. It was on Poke TV for kids. And it's like, the beauty of this is because there's hundreds of Pokemon out there. You literally have a Looney Tunes situation where you can do like an infinite amount of stories, in even with the same characters, and you can just go nuts.
Yeah, I think this is a very untapped territory for them. Like, we have like the typical traditional Pokemon showings and series that's airing right now. But yeah, to go for like something this of like, you know, nostalgia style, like with like Boomerang or classic cartoons, then yeah, I think this is probably a new market they can easily take over, I feel like.
Yeah, and I mean, we've kind of had like these little bit of like slapstick comedy in the Pokemon series before, especially with like characters with like Jigglypuff, where, you know, she would sing and draw on the faces because they all fell asleep, which is literally the whole point of a lullaby. But again, with all these Pokemon. And again, who would have thought of Scraggy being in the first one? You'd think they would have gone like with one of the classics, like Pikachu, or, you know, one of the starters. But no, they did Scraggy and Mimikyu, which is really cool. So who knows what they're gonna do with the next batch? And I hope that we don't have to wait too long for it to come around. So yeah,
right. Uh-huh. And just to go back just a little bit, like the next of the Twilight is gonna be with the Ghost Leader. What's his name again?
Oh yeah, that kid. I don't remember.
Yeah, like just like showing like him with all the ghost Pokemon. Like, I wonder how's his origin story gonna be. Like, being friends with ghost Pokemon.
Yeah, well, it said on his league card that he had some kind of a tragic accident when he was young, and then it like led to him connecting with ghost Pokemon on a certain level.
Well, we're going to that territory. Okay, I mean, I granted with Nesto's thing, they had a whole Miyazaki influence with yeah. So I wonder if they're gonna do the same thing again. I wonder.
Never know. Never know. All right, Keith, did you watch the Poketoons?
I did not.
Oh man, you really gotta watch it. It's really funny. So
I actually haven't had a chance really to watch much of anything.
You need to.
Especially right now because I'm on on call, an IT on call. It's fun. So when I get done work, I literally just sit there and wait for them to call me again because they likely will.
Okay, I kid you not. When you said it so fast that it made it sound like you're saying I'm on alcohol.
I might as well be on alcohol.
You might as well.
If I was drunk, I'd be like, "Oh, I didn't hear the phone. I'm so sorry." But no, I'm not really.
We here at the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast do not condone the use of alcohol to get out of work.
Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah.
Actually, be like Keith. Don't drink alcohol whatsoever.
I've been sober for 30 years.
I've never touched this stuff.
Neither have I.
But, so you're only 13 years old?
What?
You said you were sober for 13 years.
30. Okay, 30 years. And then people ask me, how old are you? I'm 30. So,
yeah, not touching that stuff.
Yeah, I don't need it. All right, so moving on to another interesting notion of a cartoon, Shantae. So
okay, I got to stop you for a second. Is it Shantae or Shantae?
I always call it Shantae.
I learned
from the official voice from Christina V, who voices Shantae. It's all even the song, it says Shantae.
Shantae, Shantae, whatever. Shantae, Shantae, Shanty, you know, however it rolls. I'm sure I've changed how I've said it, like, you know, from podcast to podcast or whatever. With Shantae, obviously we just got the release of The Seven Sirens, which I haven't played because I'm doing Xenoblade, but I will get it. And, you know, reviews are very positive and sales are probably going to be good. And the team has noted that they are totally up for the idea of an animated series.
Huh.
And, this came from a creator, Matt Bozon, who said, I'm taking a breather by helping out with a few other projects where I can while we prepare for the next big thing. Aaron wants to keep exploring Shantae as an animated series, and I'm all for that I'm all for that, too. After that Studio Trigger intro that confirmed that she'll be in Smash Brothers, I'm just saying, it feels like we're closer than ever. Why doesn't the cartoon keep playing? Why does it end? So, given the popularity of the Shantae franchise and, you know, the desire for her to be in more media, I'm totally down with that. And again, like they said, the intro to Shantae and the Seven Sirens has a very cool animated intro done by Studio Trigger. So, and the lore is there. I mean, they got deep lore with, you know, Shantae's friends and Risky and, you know, all the places that she can explore. So why not?
It definitely has a lot of potential right there. Like, just given all the entire series of Shantae. And of course, yeah, with the great influence from Studio Trigger, and yeah, even seeing some of the cutscenes in the game of Seven Sirens, it just feels like it definitely works. And like, of course, naturally, the budget would work. Can they survive a season or two seasons? You know how TV series are. And but regarding to a Shantae cartoon, any of that sort, I feel like this is definitely a good opportunity. I feel like should they ever want to pursue it. So yeah, a Shantae anime or Shantae cartoon. Heck yeah, I'm all for it.
Yeah, for me, it's like, again, the lore is there. So they definitely have that option. And then, if anything, they could pull what, you know, Nintendo is doing with Twilight Wings or Poketoons, and they can do, like, 8 to 10 minute story bites, like, every month or so, you know, kind of, or, like, well, the Clone Wars cartoon, yeah, like, the Gennady Taramzakoski, or however Samurai Jack creator, that guy. You know, he did like little 4 minute videos of Star Wars, and it was like the biggest thing ever. You know, it won an Emmy. So do that, you know, continue building up the franchise. And then when you have your
let me cut you off right there. I have to say, every time someone mentions that action sequence where the clone trooper just goes completely ballistic is,
yeah,
I love that. I love it.
I personally love, the Obi-Wan versus Dirge and Mace Windu just killing the army on his own and just doing it like an absolute boss. He's punching droids and he's bending metal. Like, you know, Mace, you know, Samuel L. Jackson, that's your character. So like, I am tired of these mother effing droids on this mother effing Clone
He would
War.
make, he would be, you know, that's something we needed from him before, you know, they killed him off. So yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, but like they could do something like that. They do it in bite-sized bits. They'll cut down on cost, cut down on the long-term, you know, restrictions of animation, space it out over, you know, a period of, you know, a couple months and all that. And they can do like, say, like one storyline. Twilight Wings proves you can do a whole story in less than 6 minutes and it'd be very impactful. So do that kind of storytelling over the course of many episodes and see where it goes. And then if you want to have a season two, there you go.
Mm, yep. No. Or like, yeah, just do an internet show on YouTube or somewhere.
Or, yeah, oh, yeah, that's a great example, Will. That's perfect. You don't have to put a big budget in. You don't have to worry about distribution because just put it on YouTube.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, do Twilight Wings or, like, technically the Star Wars Clone Wars, that was on the internet. That was just on the Cartoon Network website. So, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
Far, far away.
Anyway, so, like, go for it. Team Way Forward, you've proven your stuff. You know, just remember, while we all love Shantae, we need DuckTales.
Can I also say I'm really sad that I think season three of DuckTales stopped. Is it over?
No,
it's still going.
No, they did their seven episodes, and now they're taking their dumb high. Like Disney XD is horrible with all franchises not named Pokemon in terms of release dates. And I know that Pokemon's about to be on Netflix. I get that. But like with Pokemon, they had like, you know, week upon week upon week upon week upon week. You know, like half the season, then it'll take like a 5 week break and then they'll be back. With DuckTales, they do like seven episodes, take a long break, then they'll bust out 10 episodes like really quickly. And then like the last episodes they'll do like all in 1 week and then they're done with the season. I don't get that. I mean,
I cannot get enough of DuckTales. Cannot. I love it.
Yeah, I know. I love it too. Like, I vaguely remember the original DuckTales series. I had the movie, you know, the
it
one with the
genie. It does not stand up well. It does not.
Oh, I know. I know it doesn't. But that was also like a very different kind of DuckTales. Like they were jumping through time and space, and you know, like history, and it was fine. But this new one is much more, you know, focused and modern in the best ways possible. The animation still feels old school, unlike many of you cartoons out there. You know who I'm talking about. I'm glaring at you right now. Anyway, but, you know, it feels great. Voice acting's totally awesome. The storytelling is top-notch. I love DuckTales, but the schedule for it is horrible. Because, like, I watched it 7 weeks in a row, and it was great. Like, every single episode.
Yeah.
You know, I liked a 30-minute DuckTales cartoon over a four-hour WWE pay-per-view. That's sad! Okay?
Well, I'm not going to get into wrestling. No,
wrestling! Woohoo! But yeah, anyway, so Way Forward, please bring us DuckTales. But also, Way Forward says that they are up for the idea of making an HD remake / remaster of the original Shantae title. This was also from Matt Bozon, who said, "That's been a hot topic lately. I'd be down for doing that. Of course, we're all excited to make new games too. We'll need to think long and hard about what's next for Shantae's adventures, but a remake isn't outside the realm of possibility," end quote. And I'm like, with everything that's going on, with, you know, like Final Fantasy, Xenoblade, and all of them, why not bring back the original Shantae, improve it, expand upon it, you know, make it more than it was back on the Game Boy, and like have at it.
Yeah, we're kind of pretty much in that ripe generation right now for remix and reimagining. So yeah, anything that's like old 8-bit style back on the Game Boy, let's just go bring it to the modern systems, like, and yeah, just give it the full fledged treatment.
Why not?
We're pretty much in that
right
time
why,
now.
Why not? Yeah. Why the heck not?
Yeah, yeah. I bet it would honestly make a lot of money because everyone's like, because how many? Like, let's be honest here. How many people actually remember the original Shantae game? I when I found out about Shantae, it was Half Genie Hero on the Wii U, and then I realized, then I found out that it has this long history, and I'm like, how have I never heard of this game before? And I think I might have heard about it in like passing one time. But again, this was pre-internet, pre-everything, and her release schedule wasn't exactly the most consistent. Like, one was on the DSi. Like, who remembers that? So why not? Why not bring it back? Oh boy. But yes, potential Shantae anime, we're all in for that. Alright, next up, Xenoblade. It is the 10th year anniversary of Xenoblade, which makes us all feel old, and also it's perfect timing, obviously, because of the definitive edition of the first game coming out. But I just didn't realize it's been 10 years. And then when they did, like, they made this very special piece of art where they had Shulk, Rex, and
Elma.
Elma, right? I want to say Elmira. Elma, together holding the Monado and their various blades, and that was pretty cool. So, yeah, all for that. And then, the team at Monolith Soft have noted that they want to continue making Xenoblade. Tetsuya Takahashi said, quote, "From the viewpoint of giving Monolith Soft more variety, I would like to do a smaller scale project if the opportunity arose. But right now, I think we should focus on increasing the value of the brand that we have created with Xenoblade Chronicles Saga. Of course, if we manage to organize ourselves in a way that allows us to do so, I would also like to give us a small scale project a chance," which is also the line of thinking of Platinum Games. But yeah, I'm all for this. Now, they keep saying, "Oh, we're going to do another project eventually," but we already know they're working on one. And I don't mean Xenoblade Chronicles 3, but we know they're working on another game that's not Xenoblade, but they just, like, aren't talking about it. But I am happy that we are getting confirmation, basically, of Xenoblade Chronicles 3, because I like this franchise and I want it to keep going. So, yes.
It's good to see, like, how much it has since the time of Operation Rainfall. And yeah, even with, like, even predating the Xenoblade Chronicle games, like the Xeno Saga, Xeno Gears, even the people who did the Xeno titles involved in this in Monolith Soft, is just again, all that time and now just accumulated to this is just, it's quite something to see this much progress done for the Xeno series in general. So I'm just happy about it, just see how much they've improved. So yeah, and regarding to that small project, I can only imagine what they want to do, like something that's not scaled, not obviously not a big scale like with Xenoblade Chronicles or X, but something scaled out. I don't know, Xenoblade kart racing. I'm just throwing it out.
Don't tempt them. It's like Xenoblade Party. Oh gosh, but no, I'm happy for this. I will. I mean, Keith, are you potentially excited for a fourth now? It'd be Xenoblade Chronicles 3, but it'd be their fourth entry because of X. So
I can't say that I'm excited, but at the same time, if it's a great RPG series that I hear it is, again, I haven't dedicated any time to any of them, then I'm all for it.
Yeah, I mean, like,
I actually own two. I have never had the chance to sit down and say, you know what, I'm going to play this game.
You should.
I have so much stuff to do.
Yeah, I know. You are a busy man, and that's why
I'm on vacation. See, I can't even say that because in about a week. What?
You're on call.
Well, in a week, I'll be on vacation. But I'll be on 2 weeks vacation, but we're now doing a project in the house where we're replacing the entire HVAC system, so the new furnace, new central air, and we're converting part of the unfinished basement into a full room. So even when I'm on vacation,
you're working. Yeah. I totally understand that. That's like me at Comic-Cons. Those are my vacation, but usually I'm selling comics or networking.
No, events are no longer vacations. So, like, this is just more work.
Yep. Yes, and I can, and even though he's, you know, in the, it's gonna be a really bad pun there, but I won't. Even though Tyler is not here with us, I can already feel him, you know, saying, "Yes, Xenoblade Chronicles 3, please improve upon the greatness that is Xenoblade Chronicles 2. Let's bring back Rex and Pyra and Mithra and all of them, because I love them so much. I don't care what anyone else." By the way, did I tell you guys that I love it more than Sonic?
Let me ask you a question. Well, actually, let me ask Will, since Will's played them both. Xenoblade Chronicles 2 and Final Fantasy 7 Remake. How long is Xenoblade compared to Final Fantasy? Is it a longer
Xenoblade
game?
Xenoblade is significantly longer than Final Fantasy, in my opinion.
Okay.
Like, because, like, even when I platinum Final Fantasy 7 Remake, like, it was, I did pretty much everything, grinded up, and of course, like, the secret boss platinum the thing. Last I checked, I was pretty much sitting at 120 hours. And so, but I feel like with Xenoblade, you can easily stretch a lot more. It's just a lot more content compared.
Give a context. There's a lot more side quests. All right, which obviously is the same thing you say about Final Fantasy, because this is, again, a fraction of the original game and just stuffed with more side quests that are completely
right.
Irrelevant. So
I'm just trying to gauge how much time I need to dedicated, because I do want to go through Xenoblade, because I haven't played an RPG in quite some time.
Let me put it to you through my perspective, okay? I have focused mostly on the story, though I have dedicated a few hours to side quests. I'm not done with the story yet, and I haven't gotten to Future Connected, and I'm about at 25, 26 hours. And based on what I think is going on in the story, I probably have another 5-6 hours of story-focused stuff to do. So I would say at least 30 to 40 hours, depending on how you decide to do side quests and, you know, grinding and all that. So that would be my guess. And then, of course, Future Connected is supposed to be another 10 to 20 hours, depending on how many side quests you do there. So that's how long. So 30 to 50 hours for the entire game.
That's not bad.
That's not bad. No, Xenoblade 2 is so much longer. It's like 60 hours for the whole story, and that was me very lightly doing side quests. So yeah, that game was deep. But yeah. All right, moving on to Animal Crossing. So the team behind Animal Crossing New Horizons were talking about the game recently, and they noted that they don't just see New Horizons as the next entry of the franchise. They're seeing it as the beginning of the next generation of Animal Crossing, and in their minds, they define it as the third generation. And the way they say it is, this is from a director, Aya Kyogoku. He said, quote, "The first Animal Crossing game had no online play features. It was created under the premise that players could communicate in an asynchronous manner without an internal connection. Online functions were added in Animal Crossing City Folk, and it was possible to play together even with people living in different places. In New Horizons, due to the fact that you start by not having a normal town, there are a lot of changes even if you play alone. We also added a mode called Party Play, where you could play with people living on the same island simultaneously instead of doing it asynchronously like before," end quote. So they're basically saying that because of the online connectivity, they can do so much more and they can add more depth to the game, which is slightly ironic because just about everybody admits the online features are one of the worst parts of New Horizons. But hey, effort! Yeah! Maximum effort. So, and then, of course, they can improve on this with the next game, whatever it is. So, yeah.
I haven't played it yet.
Neither have I. I don't do Animal Crossing.
I probably should ask my nephew to play his copy, but
well,
yeah,
that's my
problem. I just want to
play. I bought a copy, but my son took it, and he won't give it back.
Oh,
well, again, it's a time of like you just have so much hours playing, and especially with Animal Crossing. But I just want to say, please, Nintendo, can you patch in some quality of life improvements, like making multiple items and just one at a time, please? Some quality of life improvements, please.
Only thing I know about is people keep asking for turnips and stuff on Twitter, and I'm like,
turnips.
Turnips is the stock market. Like your son is gonna learn the evils of the stock market in that game. Yes.
Yes, yes, yes. And then, I still see, a comic legend, Gail Simone, she's still asking about turnip prices because she's addicted to the game. I know, many of my friends have been playing it. I know a wrestler that I really, really dig, she's been playing it, nonstop. She held, a wedding and took a screenshot and made it play out like a soap opera, and it was hilarious. But, I've only recently seen, a much smaller screenshot list of Animal Crossing Islands, and that's honestly just because of everything that's been going on in the world. But Animal Crossing came at literally the perfect time, to maximize its effectiveness, to get people to just stay home and play it, because what else are they gonna do? And they're rolling in the money and the turnips. So So just again, imagine what the next game is gonna be. And there, although they won't pray for a pandemic, they'll be like, what's the best time that we can maximize it so we can have what New Horizons had? I almost feel bad for that next game because even if it's better in every way, there's no way outside of a massive holiday release like Christmas time or something like that that they'll have the immediate impact that New Horizons had. No chance.
Yeah, it depends. If they hype it up, they could.
But I mean, even Animal Crossing was hyped. Or sorry, Animal Crossing New Horizons was hyped up in its own way. But the reason it really sold was because everyone was home. Most of the big games have been delayed outside of Final Fantasy, ironically enough. So all they had to play was either Final Fantasy or Animal Crossing. And as much as a lot of people like Final Fantasy, Animal Crossing sold four times that in less time.
And don't forget about the friendship they'd made with Doom as well. So don't forget about Doom Guy.
Doom Guy and Isabel sitting in a tree. K-I-L-L-I-N-G.
There is fiction, and there's so much of a fan of it, but I digress.
I know.
But yeah. Yeah, it's just, yeah, if they're going to make the next game true, because there's no way, like, unlikely they're going to have the same situation of a big pandemic actually helping with the game, because, again, Animal Crossing is pretty much an evergreen title. You can play it whenever you want, and it will still go on and on until the next major entry. I mean, again,
absolutely.
New Leaf was still popular until New Horizons, so yes.
Yeah, and then there was actually an uptick in playing on New Leaf and in Pocket Camp, so... Also, just breaking kayfabe a little bit, was there a girl character announced in Ratchet & Clank?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so that's the art I kept seeing. I thought someone just, like, turned Dak or Ratchet into a girl. I'm like, I guess it's the internet. Okay, that's fine.
Nope.
Nope. It is canon now.
Yeah, so, it is actually real.
Yeah, so she's okay, yeah.
And people are like,
a female Lombax.
Yeah, where have you been? Where were you? Alright, next up we have the Nintendo Summer Sale. Nintendo obviously has a big desire to do sales for their games, but now they're doing their Summer Sale, and there's some big titles on here that are available for a cheaper price. For example, we have Astral Chain. You can get it for $48 instead of $60. We highly recommend that one. Huh?
That's surprising.
Yeah, I know. Bloodstained Ritual of the Night, which was recently confirmed to be over 1 million in sales. That's on for $28. Box Boy and Box Girl, a very old school puzzles game. It's only $6.99. Civilization 6 is only $30. Cuphead is $15. Not bad. Dead Cells, $18.75. Dark Souls Remastered, $24. Tropical Freeze is $24. The 2016 Doom is $30. Dragon Ball, Fighters is $15. That can't be right. That's it was $60 and they loaded it to $15. Are they just not selling it? Like what? That's weird. Dragon Quest XI S, which Tyler has been playing a lot. He might even be playing it on his throne, if you know what I mean. he's gonna kill me. It's $42. Golf Story, surprisingly deep sports RPG, $8. Kirby Star Allies, $42. Let's see. Oh, Mario Rabbids. Here we go again. Mario and Rabbids Kingdom Battle, $15. I don't know if that's who did this article? Was that you, Keith? No, it's Christopher Brown. Okay, I gotta ask him because I'm like, I really doubt that Ubisoft dropped the game. $35. These might be wrong, okay? Because it's really easy to do 14 instead of 41. Mario Tennis Aces is 42. Mortal Kombat 11 is 25, which is not bad at all. Murder by Numbers, which I hear is very, very good. That's $10.50. New Super Mario Bros. Deluxe, 41. Okami, which we're going to be talking about in a second, $10. That's really good. Ori and the Blind Forest, which I hear is very good on Switch, $14. Shantae, Half Genie Hero.
No, it's actually $15.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, don't get me wrong. I am all for a sale, but when I see a game jump from like 50 or 60 to 15 or whatever, like with Mario, or those 60 to 15, that's a drop.
Okay? Nino Kuni, Wrath of the White Witch is also 20.
Ni No Kuni. Nice.
Yeah, that's also a good one. And yeah, it's a long list. I mean, I only touched on like the big ones. Oh, yeah. Travis Strikes Again, No More Heroes, that's only $15. Witcher 3 Wild Hunt Complete Edition, $42. Skyrim's at $30. So yeah, there's a lot. So if you haven't gotten, a major Nintendo title of the last few years or a third party title last few years or an indie title that you've been having your eyes on, it might be on sale.
But of course, naturally, just a reminder, just make sure to get a good SD card so you can download all these great titles.
Yeah, I keep having, as I noted last week on the podcast, I didn't expect to get a review copy for Xenoblade because I honestly apparently didn't even ask for it. And then Keith over here is like, oh yeah, no, Todd, don't get it. I'm like, why? It can't be bad. I mean, I saw the review saying it's good. He's like, no, I got a review copy. I'm like, okay. And then I had to like undownload like three or four games and, you know, archive the data just so I could get downloaded because it's so huge. And when I get Shantae, I'm probably going to have to remove Xenoblade just to play it, which is fine, but whatever. So, whatever. But hey, I'm glad. Hey, it's $60 I didn't have to pay. And again, the review will be up tomorrow. So be looking out for that. All right. Okami, this is an interesting one. The creator of Okami, I believe it was, he said that he is going to like try and get a meeting with Capcom to pitch a new Okami title. Here he goes. Ikumi Nakamura, he said like he's going to Capcom to propose a sequel, and he says the odds are pretty high that it's going to happen, which is good because Okami was a very beloved title. That's why it got ported everywhere. All right. I mean, it was on
It's definitely something. I mean, I'm very excited because again, Okami is just one of that license. It's just so unique back during the Twilight Princess era, give or take. Yeah.
Well, and, it was on PS2, and then it came to Wii, and then it got ported everywhere.
Oh, right. So before then. Okay. But yeah, because as of right now, Capcom's not doing anything with the Okami license aside from cameos from Marvel. Versus Capcom Infinite. Yeah, it was like checked. Or was it even 3? I forgot. But yeah, they're not doing anything with Okami. They're just sitting on that lesson, including with Beautiful Joe. Yeah, and Beautiful Joe, which Capcom.
Just stop. You're making me sick, I will.
Yeah, so.
Bursina Go Go, baby.
Oh, I missed it. I missed it. Don't. Oh, I'm sad.
No, Will, I find in times like this, it's important to slow down and then speed up.
We don't even get a remaster of that. I mean, that's just, oh, God, man.
Damn it, Capcom!
Seriously. Language! But yes, for all you Okami fans, I do indeed hope that you get your second title. I honestly never got to play Okami. It was there. And I know, maybe I'll download it, who knows, but I heard nothing but good things about Okami, and I actually, no joke, remembered the character so much that I am going to inspire a character of my current anime comic series, Tokyo Blade Detectives, after Okami, so.
Nice plug.
No, it's just, it's true. I try and, for this series, I'm trying to derive as many references for the various Japanese TV shows, cartoons, mangas, animes that I've watched or read, and even though I never played Okami, I remember the look of the character. It was very distinct, and so I'm going to merge it with another character I saw to make a character called the Wolf. And, yeah, he's going to be a key player in my comics, so thanks, Okami. Alright, moving on to something that Will is still mad about, Ring Fit Adventure!
I really regret not getting it at launch time now.
And you're like, what? Why is he mad about it? Well, ever since the pandemic started, a lot of people realized that they're not going to be working out, so they started to try and buy up Ring Fit Adventure, which was fine, which is part of the reason it sold so well. But now, because of, you know, the various things going on, Nintendo can't restock it to the level that people want to buy it. So there's like shortages everywhere, all over the world, and Nintendo's like, we're trying to fix this, but obviously because of the lockdown in various countries, it's kind of hard.
Scalpers.
yep. Just seeing on Amazon, eBay, easily double the price of $160 or more. Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, who would have thought like a very indestructible ring, an exercise ring, and a software would be worth so much? It's like. Okay, and
talking about that, I get irritated. Like right now, I'm on eBay again, right? And I'm watching this thing, and this guy's got like 20 of them, and they're selling them for $500. And I'm like, why? Why are you doing this?
Because I'm evil.
Yeah, you are. You're Donald Trump evil right there, buddy.
I don't define myself as evil. I define myself, much like you do, Keith, as your supreme leader. So you can take your insults and put them over the wall.
I can't wait to go over the wall.
I'm
How about that wall?
I'm just reminded of going through the whole amiibo craze back in the day as well. Just yeah, just the timing, of course, is just, yeah, I'm really sad. But hopefully once, like, now people are starting to open back up a little bit, but give or take, but I digress, is just hopefully then Nintendo is able to go, like, restock again. Here's hoping.
Yeah, it's like, no, this is one of those random things where no one could have saw this coming. Kind of like what happened with Animal Crossing, because again, the lockdown pandemic helped Animal Crossing, and then it helped Ring Fit Adventure, and it was doing fine on its own. It was getting enough. It was like this generation's version of, you know, Wii Fit with the board and everything, and, you know, it was doing well. I think it's like 2 million or something like that over the course of a couple months, which is not bad at all. And yet now it's like, you know, it's sold out everywhere because everyone's like, I need, you know, a workout, but I want to do it in a meaningful way. And, you know, who wants to watch Richard Simmons anymore? So,
I miss that guy.
Buy yourself an Oculus Quest. He was that.
Yeah, he was a lot of things. But, yeah. I would tell a story, but it's like, it's not exactly Nintendo appropriate. Anyway, but, this is a good way to exercise because it's a video game, but you're also, you know, working out bodies, and you, like, much like I used to do with Wii Boxing, like, you can work up a sweat doing this thing. So I would have gotten it myself if I had known, because I would have, you know, dedicated like 30 minutes a day to, you know, doing these various exercises. But I'm not paying $500. Are you kidding me? I can make half a comic with that. So, I'd rather get fat and just eat food. All right, and then this one I wanted to bring up because it's important, but also it kind of ties into something we were talking about earlier. The Outer Worlds. It came out onto Switch, and it's apparently pretty horrible. So if you recall, Outer Worlds was the latest game from Obsidian, the team behind the original team behind Fallout, and then, of course, they did Fallout New Vegas and certain other things. And when it came out to other systems, it was like Game of the Year material, you know? It was good stuff, long RPG, lots of options, blah, blah, blah. And then everyone's like, you know, is it going to come out to Switch? It felt like it could. It did. It waited like 6 months, got a small delay. We waited. And what we got was not optimal, apparently. So, like, the reviews are just ripping it apart because it's like, it doesn't perform as well on Switch. And, you know, that's understandable because, you know, the Switch can do great games. I mean, Xenoblade's a great example of that. Breath of the Wild, obviously, and certain others. But, you know, there are limits, and if you don't take the time to monitor those limits, you end up with something like this, versus something like Doom, which apparently was an amazing port, despite, you know, lower-ish graphics and all that stuff, which we understood would happen, and or Skyrim, or Witcher. Witcher 3 is another good example of that. You know, if you take the time to make the port, the results will speak for itself, but some people don't. They just rush it out and say, oh yeah, this is fine, it will make some money off of this, and then you get blasted in reviews, and I'm like, why didn't you just take the time to make it work?
So. It's definitely, like, sad to see how the product came out as it is. It's just, like, we already knew that it was doing pretty decent or well on, like, other systems like the PS4 and Xbox. I mean, heck, obviously you want to play this thing on a PC just because, again, it's PC optimized. So just, that's the thing tricky with Switch ports. We all know that Switch ports, any Switch port is going to have some sort of compromise. No doubt about that. I mean, heck, even with Saint Rose 3 Remaster on Switch, they had some things. But even that's an old game.
So, oh, hold on, stop. The Switch version, no, Switch didn't get the remastered. Switch got the original version, but like with the ultimate package. That's the one I played. Then they did the remastered version, which was like, you know, super graphics, you know, make it crisp, you know, deep, more detailed steel port, which I would totally get if I had, you know, a better PC. But no, like that, we didn't get that version. We got the original version with just all the extra content.
Okay. I stand corrected. Gotcha. So yeah, we're going to go into Outer Worlds. Is like, we already know, again, like, from the creators of Fallout, this game was supposed to be really like a lot. There's a lot to basically consider, from pop textures popping in, and the fact that even load times are going to a minute long, which could probably speed level some other games, like that one Sonic level, is just like, okay, perhaps this thing should have been more ironed out more, or even if it was possible to iron out kinks. But yeah, maybe it was just the fact that the people trying to bring it over, just like they were too overly ambitious and just kind of bit off more they can chew, I feel like.
I just think if anybody's trying to put a game over to the Switch anymore, you just need to give it the panic button and just call it a day.
There are a few others who have done good ports, but yeah, Panic Button, they know what they're doing.
Yep.
So that's who Bethesda trust, and Bethesda is Bethesda. You know, do we have to? We'll forget about Fallout 76. That's their mulligan. Okay, you got a mulligan, okay? Just keep it over there and get back to work. So, good times. Sometimes, all the times, except in the Outer Worlds. Hi-yo! Moving on. So moving on to our main event. In lieu of what has happened with Twilight Wings and Poké Toons and the potential Shantae anime, we decided to think about what could be the next animated series, anime series, or whatever from Nintendo. And we're going to break this down in a Nintendo discussion. I'll start this off because I really, really like this topic, because we've talked about this loosely before. Like, we've joked about a Super Smash Brothers anime series because of what we got with the Palutena trailer with Pit versus Link, which was awesome. And but like, what could they do in either grand or small scale, kind of like what we're talking about with Shantae, to make, you know, their franchises more fleshed out? And I thought instantly of Metroid, and so did Keith, but I stole that answer first. And my idea was make it from the viewpoint of Samus on a mission. You know, like every either season, half season, every couple episodes is its own mission. And they could do like Twilight Wings, where it's like bite-sized pieces, like to an overconnected story. Or they could make it like an actual series with like full-on voice acting and animation. The guy behind Castlevania on Netflix, he totally wants to do a Metroid series. Give it to him! Just don't make it M-rated, but give it to him. And yes, I'm sure some of you do want an M-rated Metroid series. Shame on you. Moving on. But, like, it could be fun. Like, this would be, you know, a high-intensity, high-action scene. Yes, Samus will talk. That's kind of inevitable. It have to be with this kind of a series. And Samus has talked in certain games, both in text and in voice with other M. But, you know, it's very simple. It's very elegant, and the lore is there between Ridley, the space pirates, you know, the Chozo, Faison, and anything else you wanted to add on to it. It's all there for you to take. You just gotta wait for it. Wait for it. You gotta do it. Do it. So, and think how slick it would be. You know, like I'm talking like Sam is quickly going to the morph ball, her charging up, you know, her various cannons, her versus Ridley, which I'm sure would be totally boss in an anime style. It would work. And you have a lot to go on, and you can make it, again, each season is one mission, or you do an overarching story. You can do, like, you know, mini arcs to fill up a season. There's so much you could do, and it would build up so much hype for Metroid Prime 4 when it arrives alongside Final Fantasy VII Remake Part 2 in 2030. So, so like, that's my thing. I think Metroid could really benefit from an animated series, or an anime series.
Yeah, like, it's definitely, because granted, even with like the current games they have right now, and even the manga itself, I feel like there is definitely a lot more lore they can definitely explore to in the Metroid universe. Of course, there's Ridley, the Chozos, like just a lot of lore they can definitely show off more in a cartoon anime style, I feel like. So yeah, it's definitely a good prime territory they can definitely explore on.
What about you, Keith? You also wanted to talk about this. Was my idea similar to yours?
Well, kind of, sort of, maybe. I thought about one, and then I scrapped it. And I thought about another one, which I think is a lot more interesting. And that actually would be going back to Star Fox.
Ah.
I've always liked the Star Fox universe. I don't think Nintendo does it justice anymore.
Nope.
And I definitely feel that an anime series, that would be pretty cool, because you can always have the Star Fox crew basically going on a short mission. And you can have a serious tone, or you can have like a filler episode where they're out chilling, or they're out just flying in space, or they're just reminiscing about past battles. Or you can get really in depth, really serious about, they're actually in a fight, and maybe things go wrong and how they pull it back together and complete the mission, or how they encounter new people, new beings. That it could go anywhere. It literally could, because the Star Fox universe is vast. And in my opinion, it's underutilized. It's untapped.
Because the way you described it, I'm getting flashbacks of Biker Mice from Mars when you described it.
Or Bucky O'Hare.
Oh, gosh.
Yes! Retro! and all you Death Battle fans will get that joke, too. So, ha ha ha. They put Star Fox versus Bucky O'Hare in a Death Battle.
Who won?
It was awesome. Anyway, but no, Star Fox, you're totally right. Star Fox would totally work in an animated series. And in fact, you could argue that it might be more compelling than Metroid, because you have a more definitive cast versus just Samus. You know, and because we all know that Team Star Fox and, of course, Team Star Wolf, who obviously have to be in there, would have all have their own unique personalities and all of that. And the manga was the original Star Fox comics. They helped, you know, develop all the personalities very, very well. So putting that in an animated series, having, you know, very anime style, you know, fighter battles with the R-Wings and all that, it would be, that would be totally legit. And then if that doesn't bring back Star Fox in a proper way, nothing will. So. Also, shout out to my friend Zach Som, who wants to totally make a Star Fox comic. I'm right there with you, buddy.
Yeah, now I think about it, I think all three of our choices kind of go up on the space theme as well, because for me, I kind of feel like I really want to see more of a Pikmin anime for my suggestion. And like, granted, we did have those brief CG shorts for the Wii U. Yeah, like back on the Wii U, they did like for Pikmin, Olimar, and of course, like, it's grimly show Olimar cutting a character that looked like Pikmin, which was the grim thing. But yeah, for me, having a Pikmin anime, because granted, we only have three games right now, because including the 3DS game, but in the same veins of the other two suggestions of Star Fox and Metroid, I feel like there is a lot more we can explore with Pikmin, because granted, we know about the Ink crew and locations like Hakutate, Planet Hakutate, the president, and of course, like the diverse cast, of course, like there's Louis, Olimar, like just a great arrangement of cast. I mean, heck, there's always this one part of me I've always been curious, like, how does Olimar's family look like? And how the heck did Olimar meet Louis in the first place? Is like, even though Louis is pretty much the pinnacle of evil in that universe, I don't know. It's just, there's a lot of questions to definitely ask regarding to Olimar's kind of like a planet Hakutate and everything else. And of course, naturally, there is the Pikmins that we can explore, like how the flying Pikmins, the rock Pikmin, all the different type of Pikmins, how they just basically live, try to survive on this hostile planet with the bulb orbs trying to eat them, everything trying to eat them. Is, yeah, I feel like it's an interesting take. I mean, granted, because there is text, there's not actually full-fledged voice acting per se. There is that onomatopoeias they speak of, but I feel like there is a lot more territory they can explore in the world of Pikmin. And plus, it's just kind of like parallel to our world, so it shouldn't be too hard to make. So for me, I would definitely like to see like a Pikmin anime of some sort.
That's definitely an interesting choice there, Will, though I guess I shouldn't, you know, expect anything less from you. But if done right, yeah, that could work. I don't know how that would look visually, you know, because I'm used to seeing Olimar in 3D. With Star Fox and Metroid, you know, that's different because that's very easy to stylize, whereas Olimar in 2D, I don't know. I mean, obviously it could work. Anything could be transferred from one foreign to another, but I mean, I guess it could work. I mean,
I mean, if anything of it can be based from the original, the Pikmin 3DS game they had, it's, I feel like it definitely can transition to a 2D plane if they wanted to. I mean, of course, there's always the current trend right now in anime, like involving a little bit of CG, which unfortunately is not really what we're seeing, use CG too much in animes, but if it can be properly done right, combining it, you can actually do some pretty good CG work while also making good anime. So it really depends on if you can really like blend it in accordance with any other shows that we mentioned right now. So it depends on the studio's course.
And one that I honestly I thought of like just before the show came on was, what if they did a, wait for it, Paper Mario cartoon? Like, not anime, like cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
Like, imagine that. I mean, I think that could really work. Because if you think about it, that's exactly what Thousand Year Door is. It's just a cartoon, but it's one you can play.
It's a play within a play. It is set
exactly.
Stage.
It's a play within a play. So, and then they could make it like the sequel to Thousand Year Door, because they could have their own adventure, and Mario wouldn't need to talk. Like, this is one of those rare times where, unlike the Super Mario Brothers cartoon, rest in peace, Captain Lou Albano, you know, they don't have to have Mario talk, because everybody else talk for him, and then he'll just have to go the Mamma Mia. Or, like, do that thoughtful pose where he's thinking about something. It would totally work. And then you could appeal that one to kids. You'd still have the action and the drama of it all, but it'd just be paper. You know, well, paper style.
And because the way you just said now, we're going to Mario's onomatopoeia. I'm immediately reminded we're going to the All-Star games, like where Mario or Luigi is like, like that. Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm reminded of in the All-Star games, yeah.
So, I mean, like, I think that one would work. And that would work both in a easy-to-animate sense, because it's, again, you're just making a paper aesthetic. And that would work in a storyline sense. It would appeal to kids. It would appeal to fans of Mario. I think that could work. What? Any last oddball ideas to throw out there, gentlemen?
I would say this. The hell, I'll say anyway. F-Zero, you can have a recollection of the racers. Like, I totally would have had this race, but this guy had to go do this, and then they go recap their own story of exactly what happened, and the other racer cuts and goes, no, that's not what happened. This is what happened. And they keep going and going and going until everybody goes, you know what? We all can see the race. That's not what happened at all. And then the people in the stands are literally watching the events as they unfold in real time. Oh. Yes, I said F-Zero. I've given up on the series, though. So, yeah. That's why I didn't say that originally. I'm done.
And, I guess we're not up on choice, because I just remember now they actually literally made an anime intro for this game. Splatoon. Like, yeah, Splatoon anime or cartoon would be perfect. The fact they already have a manga being published right now is just absolutely perfect. And remember, since that version 4.0 trailer they showed up, it was literally an anime intro. So, yeah, a Splatoon anime cartoon, perfect. Perfect opportunity.
All right. Well, it's, again, there's a lot of potential out there, and especially with what, you know, the overall, like, clearly Poketoons is a success because everyone is talking about it. Twilight Rings has surprised everyone, especially me. And the new anime is about to hit Netflix overseas, and mainly here, so Nintendo knows that they can bank off of this for more than just Pokemon. They just gotta be willing to, you know, put in the effort, put in the time, and make sure they have the right feel for the genre. So, and there are people like us, like my friend Zach, like the Castlevania showrunner guy, who want to make, you know, animated series of these characters. They're just, Nintendo is really stingy about, you know, doing this kind of stuff, but especially with what's going down with the lockdown, they should be, like, kind of thinking of, like, what other ways can we entertain while our games may not be there for them, and this is the perfect way. So, just think about it, Nintendo. That's all we ask, and then, of course, hire us. Moving on. And with that, we are ending this episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. Tyler! Tyler? Tyler, are you off the throne yet? No? Okay, fine. I happen to have the poll question up from last week. We asked you, are you excited for the Isle of Armor, and will you play it when it comes out? 40% said yes, and 60% said no. Yeah. Well, that obviously might change, but yeah, nah, it's the best look right now. I will try and get the podcast question up for when Tyler is healthy. Yeah, let's call it that. And it will be about, like, what anime do you think you would like to see from, or anime slash cartoon you'd like to see from Nintendo. And, of course, if you have ideas, do let us know. And, of course, let us know what you think about, what did you think of Poketoons? Are you up for a Shantae anime? Are you playing Xenoblade? Are you enjoying it? What games do you think you're going to get from the Nintendo Summer Sale? Are you happy that Okami might finally be getting a sequel? Do let us know in the comments below. So, for Wario Will and King Koopa Keith, I am Triforce Tile. Ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. We are not out of lives. We made it to the end of the level. So, raise the flag!